ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Latent viruses, the ones that hide away quietly, only to re-emerge later in life. Well, what are they and why do they reactivate, and what can we do about them? Professor Tony Cunningham is a viral immunologist, infectious diseases physician. He's also expert on vaccines as well. He's internationally recognised for his groundbreaking work on HIV and herpes viruses, and has played a pivotal role in developing vaccines like Shingrix for shingles and advancing research into COVID-19 vaccines. I wonder whether you've had the Shingrix vaccine. He's the director of the Centre for Virus Research at the Westmead Institute for Medical Research and a senior leadership fellow with the National Health and Medical Research Council. He's got decades of experience. So let's welcome him to the program. Tony, good evening to you. Very good to have you with us, and thanks for your company.
Thanks very much, Philip.
The latent viruses, sneaky buggers, aren't they? What are the most common types of latent viruses?
Well, we've got the nasty ones, HIV, hepatitis B, human papillomavirus causing cervical cancer. Then we've got the ones that are a little more subtle, such as the herpes viruses, and we've got herpes simplex virus type 1 that causes cold sores, herpes simplex virus type 2 that causes recurrent genital herpes, although HSV1 can also do that every now and then. And then we've got the good old glandular fever virus, which is also present in our saliva, like HSV1, most of us. We've got the chickenpox virus, which also causes shingles. And then we've got a couple of viruses which are a little more subtle, a bit like the glandular fever virus. You can have five of them in your saliva at any one time after they emerge from being latent or silent.
Does everyone have them?
If we look at chickenpox virus, 90% of us, more, 99% of us have that latent virus. We did the figures in Australia with herpes simplex 1 and 2, 80% and 12%, CMV about 60%, which is the other type of virus I was talking about, and the rarer ones, the nastier ones, HIV, Hep B, and papillomavirus.
We call them latent. Where on earth do they sit? Why doesn't our system kill them off?
Well, in various places. If we HIV, of course, the problem with that is once we treat people with antiretrovirals, the virus remains silent in T cells, white cells in our blood, and we're making desperate efforts to try and find ways to eradicate it, because people staying on antiretrovirals for their whole life is not a good idea, and they still have problems with inflammation, cardiovascular disease. Hepatitis B remains hidden within the liver and can emerge as liver cancer. Papillomavirus is present in the cervix, in the skin of the cervix, and can emerge to cause cancer. Herpes simplex type 1 and 2 and the chickenpox virus hide in our nerves, a little cluster of nerve cells around the spinal cord or the base of the brain. And the glandular fever virus hides in our white cells, in not T cells, but the ones that produce antibody called B cells.
How come our system doesn't hunt them out? And it does with other viruses, doesn't it? If you have a common, is a common cold virus latent or not?
No, not at all. And neither is flu, which is interesting. The viruses that are latent are the ones that either can actually develop their own little mini chromosome, or alternatively, can insert themselves in our chromosome. So HIV does that, and Hep B does it. Papillomavirus can do it, and that's one step towards cancer. The herpes viruses, many of them form their own little mini chromosome, and that hides in the nucleus, and they've learnt over thousands of years to not show themselves, so they don't produce proteins, or at least they don't produce the full hand of proteins.
Mm.
And every now and then they burst out and we control them and they go back and get hidden again.
So in other words, they do actually literally hide.
Exactly.
So yeah, they're not putting out any proteins which the body would say, hello, no thanks, we'll knock you off.
It'll knock you off. And you don't want to knock off your nerve cells either.
No.
You can't replace them.
Yeah, okay. Why do some viruses go dormant and others not? Do we know?
Well, the ones I described, particularly HIV and hepatitis B, they have a very unusual enzyme that converts their RNA into DNA, and then they can get that into our chromosomes. Mm. The herpes viruses I mentioned before, past masters of producing their own little mini chromosome, which hides in the nucleus of our cells. So different viruses have adapted different strategies to survive over the years. Mm. Very clever.
Mm. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Line's free if you want to grab one and ask a question. Greg from the Central Coast. G'day, Greg.
Hi there.
What's your question?
Yep, I have a problem with I got neuralgia from shingles,
mm-hmm.
and I've had a couple of shots of Shingrix, which did a little bit of improvement, but not much. And I have a bit of problem with speech. Sometimes it's quite significant, particularly with some words. It becomes very. I spoke really clearly, and I've got a. At the moment, I'm really focusing on trying to say words correctly, and at the moment, they're coming out pretty well.
Mm.
But sometimes not so. Now, I'm wondering, it actually, my tongue, it's affecting my tongue, my throat, and that's the worst part of it.
Mm.
My cranial nerves got, initially it started off at the 8th cranial, then it went to the 7th cranial nerve, and that's when it got my left side of my face. It looked like I'd had a stroke initially, and it lasted about 3 to 4 months before that finally went. But then I had the Shingrix shots, and I eventually got to the point where I am now. And even though if I were to do what I call bodybuilding with my mouth, which sounds bizarre, but if I do that bodybuilding sort of bending my tongue backwards, which is somewhat painful sometimes, I will try and build up a bit of strength, and I'll do it also with my lips and so forth. I can actually speak better for a couple of minutes, okay. And then it will drop back again to being pretty much not as good as I would like it to be.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Tony, this is to underline that point, I suppose, that these things are serious.
Yeah, one of the rare, we have a common complication of shingles, particularly in people over the age of 60. It's chronic pain called postherpetic neuralgia. We don't completely understand exactly how that occurs, but it occurs in about 12% of people over 50, and then when you get up to 70, it's about 17-18%, and that's usually prolonged pain, and it affects the pain areas in the spinal cord and in the and perhaps even higher up in the brain. It's one of the reasons why we advise people to get immunized when they're 65, because that's when that type of pain goes up.
Mm.
Now, the rarer type of nerve pain, the one Greg's got.
Yeah.
And that can cause paralysis. Shingrix won't help it. Shingrix is prevention, and you need to treat. If people get shingles, you've got to be treated within the first 3 days with antivirals while the virus is active. Otherwise, you've got scarring and you've got some degree of semi-permanent damage, and that's part of the problem, that you can get restoration of Greg's problem over years, but the virus has done the damage and it causes inflammation, death of nerve cells.
Mm. So there's no immediate strategy for Greg other than to wait it out or
ensure that he keeps seeing a neurologist, a specialist in terms of waiting that out. And unfortunately, you've got to get at this shingles early.
Yeah,
that's the lesson.
Yeah. Mm. Greg, good luck.
So what would be my option there when you said see a neurologist? I am actually seeing a neurologist. You notice I'm having a bit of problem there.
Yeah.
Neurologist, yeah. Yes. But he's not dealing with that area. I actually...
Speech therapy? Yeah.
I think he hasn't dealt with that component. In fact, I don't think he's more oriented, like some people choose their areas, and well, everybody chooses their areas, and his area is more with people with... other types of neural problems.
Mm, yeah, Tony, what you're saying is that that you have to stick at it with therapy and then hope that it improves because the damage has been done.
That's the problem. Yeah. That's why we want to immunise as many Australians as possible, more than the 30-40% that we've done.
Mm. Good luck with it, Greg, and appreciate you sharing that with us too. 1-300-800-222 is the number. My text is, why do cold sores always appear in the same spot if the virus is hiding?
Well, it comes down the same nerve from the same place in that little cluster of nerve cells, either around your spinal cord or at the base of your brain. Mm. It just keeps coming down from the same place. It's hidden in those nerve cells. They come down the same nerve and out it comes. Mm. Doesn't cause scarring, oddly enough, does it?
No,
it doesn't. Yep.
No, it doesn't, strangely. When the virus is sitting in your body... being latent, is it causing any damage at all or disruption to, or is it just sitting there?
No, it doesn't cause damage. It's when it comes out that's the problem. And herpes simplex, the cold sore virus, doesn't really cause as much inflammation of the body of the nerve cell as the chickenpox virus or shingles virus does. That's the one that really causes a lot of damage, and the complications I mentioned, pain and the complication that Greg has got, and also one really dimension that people should be very aware of, and that is eye involvement. If you've got eye involvement, you must see an eye doctor as quickly as possible. Rarely you can get blindness from that.
Susan from Newport, I think, might have a question about this. Hi, Susan.
Yes, hi. What a fabulous topic. I'm actually ringing about the eye. I have herpes simplex in my eye, and I've had it for about 30 years.
Mm.
And I was just wondering what you know about it and how I might have got that. I thought it was originally from a cat scratch, but people say, no, it couldn't have been that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first got it, I had a scratch on my finger and it got really infected with the virus, and I got it systemically and in my eye. And I was out.
How does it manifest? How does it manifest in your eye, Susan?
It comes up as ulcers
right in
my eye. And then I have a really good doctor, so eye specialist. So then I go on the course of steroids and antivirals in my eye, which are really hard to get in this country. They come from overseas. Mm. So, it's lucky that they have a supply that they can issue because you can't get it from the pharmacist.
What's the story here, Tony?
Well, you've picked one of my favourite topics. We do a lot of research in that area.
Mm.
It's caused by herpes simplex type 1, and it's probably likely that you've either rubbed a cold sore or you had what's called a herpetic whitlow, which is the infection of the tip of the finger. And that's actually infected the eye, and therefore the nerves a bit like a different division of the same nerve that Greg was talking about. It's just up a little bit in the face, if you like. And so it keeps recurring, and if you're lucky, that's all it does. If you're very unlucky and it's rare, then it can cause scarring of the eye, and that's one of the commonest causes around the world of blindness requiring corneal transplant, which is important. So it is important to treat those recurrences when they come out or try and prevent them by continuous antiviral treatments. And again, you should be seeing your eye doctor, I'm sure you are, about this. Very important. Yeah.
Yes. Can it cause drooping of one side of the face as well?
Not usually. People used to think that herpes simplex type 1 could do that. That's more the effect of shingles. But there have been some discussions about whether herpes simplex might be involved in a disease called trigeminal neuralgia, which is pain and drooping. And it's still pretty controversial about the role of the virus in that.
Mm.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And would someone with that be more prone to shingles at an older age or not? They're not related at all.
Well, they are. There's a little bit of cross-reactive immunity, interestingly enough. Colleagues of mine have found that recently. But it's not a common clinical observation that having herpes simplex type 1 in the eye predisposes you to shingles. No.
All right. Thank you, Susan. 1-300-800-222 is the number. We're talking about latent viruses with viral immunologist and infectious diseases physician Professor Tony Cunningham. If you'd like to call, 1-300-800-222 is the number. Paul from Townsville had a question about chicken pox and shingles. G'day, Paul.
Yeah, good evening. Mate, I was actually on the phone to your producer earlier, and I heard you talking when I come off the hold a little bit about the chickenpox, so I'm not sure if I'm going over the same ground or not.
Ask your question, Paul.
Okay. Does chickenpox virus cause shingles?
Yes.
Yes.
It after you get chickenpox as a young person, and people often say that you should be able to remember it, but not everyone can. In fact, the majority don't. As I mentioned, 99% of people have the chickenpox virus in their body, and it hides within those cluster of nerve cells I mentioned. And when you get over 50, that's when you start to see an increase in the rate of shingles. And in fact, 1 in 3 people in a lifetime and 1 in 2 people over the age of 85 will get shingles. And it just shows you how common it is. And as I mentioned, you can get prolonged pain for this in about 12% of people over 50 and 17% of people over 70. So Have the shingles vax.
Yep, good idea. Just on that, Julie says, when I was immunised against shingles, I was told there were 2 vaccinations. One was free, the other quite expensive. That was the case when I inquired too. I opted for the free vaccine. Was that the wrong decision? What is the situation now, Tony, with the shingles vaccination, and what access do people have to it?
Well, it's much better now. We had it's a very interesting story. The first shingles vaccine, friends of mine in the USA, I remember sitting on his couch as he described the trial he was going to run in 60-year-olds. As I think I mentioned to you, or may not have mentioned, that shingles occurs because immunity declines over the age of 50 to the chickenpox virus. So he thought, well, if we use concentrated chickenpox vaccine, will be able to boost it. And in fact, they set out to do that in 2005 and indeed proved this was the case. It was about 50% effective. And we had that vaccine, which was a live vaccine, until about 2018. And then in 2021, we replaced that vaccine with the more effective Shingrix, which is more than 90% effective.
Right.
And it's not a live vaccine. It consists of a single protein and immunostimulants. And in fact, in 2024, the Zoster vax, the live attenuated vaccine, was dropped from the Australian Armamentarium. Now, Shingrix is free over the age of 65 and... Over 65.
Right, right.
And for people, that's... They're the people most at risk.
Okay.
And also in people over the age of 18 that have severely immunosuppressing conditions.
Okay. So it's, I think when I had it, I think this was some years ago, I think it cost me nearly $800.
Yeah, it cost me about $350. So maybe I went to a...
Actually, maybe it wasn't $800. Maybe it was more like $300. I think that's probably right. It was very expensive, though. But you're saying that now it's not. It's free. If you're over 65, it's free.
Absolutely.
Under 65, you have to pay for it.
That's right. Okay. It's licensed between 50 and 65 for the reasons I mentioned.
What do you suggest that people do? Do you think if you're under 65, it's important you have it as well?
I would certainly recommend over the age of 60 that people have this vaccine. I think we'd like to see it drop to the age of 60. I think that would be the... But if you want to, 50 to 60, you're concerned about shingles, and some people are, then by all means, and you can afford it.
Once you have the vaccine, is that it for life? Or,
well, we've just published the long term efficacy, and it's in fact in year 11 after the vaccine, it was 82%, which is stunning. So we have a vaccine that's going to last over 15 to 20 years is my suggestion, which others think.
All right. Interesting. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Kathy from Bayside. Hi, Kathy.
Oh, good evening. Just had a question. I actually had shingles last year as a 53-year-old female. It was very distressing. It lasted almost a month. I had rashes all on my legs. It was like fire ants or something. But I'm just wondering, is it possible to come back?
Yes, it is, unfortunately. There's about a 10% risk over about 10 years. And I often get asked by people whether you can have the vaccine after shingles. And that's the reason I recommend it. And it's recommended by the Australian government that... if you've had shingles and you're in the appropriate age group, then wait a year and then have the vaccine. When we ran the trials, we wait a little longer than that, but that is currently the recommendation, particularly in Canada, the UK, Australia. Wait a year after an episode of shingles and have the vaccine and prevent yourself from getting
it again.
Recurrent shingles. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. What brings it on? I mean, many people who have cold sores say it gets brought on by being run down or tired or stressed. Is it the same? I mean, do we know what brings shingles on, given that it's a latent virus sitting in there in our system?
No. What we do know is it's related to a drop in immunity against, but we don't know exactly how that occurs. You're absolutely right. With cold sores, one of my friends and colleagues used to live in Salt Lake City and saw an awful lot of oral herpes because of the skiers coming back from being exposed to UV light.
Mm.
So UV light and stress and trauma can do it. But with herpes zoster, it's not quite the same. We used to think you only get zoster once in a lifetime. I've just told you that you get recurrences.
Mm.
We even know that you can shed the virus in your saliva in between episodes, and that was found when they sent astronauts up into space and sampled their saliva. Fascinating.
Mm. Mm. Brant says, can you get the shingles vax free to under 65s if you have a health concession card?
No. You've really got to have these two things. I should have mentioned that our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, it's recommended for them over the age of 50.
Okay.
People who are just simply normal people with normal immunity, it's 65. And if you have those immunosuppressing conditions, then it's 18.
It's two shots, isn't it, as I recall?
It's two shots, yep. And
I think I bought it from the chemist and kept it in the chemist's fridge.
Well,
I think the chemist gave it to me.
The chemist giving a lot. Chemist giving me my vaccines, and they do it very well. So no problem.
Yeah, it's a week apart or something, isn't it?
No, it's 2 months.
2 months apart. There
and it can be out to six. If you miss the dose, you can wait till six. I had to wait till 12 because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I got my first in Montreal, my second back here. No one gave it to me free, I might add.
No, actually, that's very unfortunate, Tony. You're one of the world's great researchers in this matter, I'm sure. I would have thought you would have had a stash, surely.
No.
Professor Tony Cunningham is with us. He's a viral immunologist and a world-leading researcher in infectious diseases and vaccines. He's director of the Centre for Virus Research at the Westmead Institute for Medical Research, amongst many other appointments. 1-300-800-222 is the number. We're inundated with questions about this. It's a topic I know that people are quite concerned about. Just before we move on to some more questions, there is some evidence, isn't there, and people are asking this too, that having the Shingrix vaccine appears to confer some protection against dementia.
This is fascinating.
What is the extent of this?
This is really fascinating. There have been about five papers, two in Nature Medicine, one in Nature, the very best journals in the world. Very clever studies. The first one that really mattered in Nature, the researcher went to Wales, where people get the vaccine before the age of 80, but not afterwards. And one of the problems about these sort of studies is there's lots of confounding factors when you do these studies on dementia. So he took people who'd had the vaccine 6 months before their 80th birthday and up to their 80th birthday and for 6 months afterwards, and he matched them. And so they're beautifully matched and found that there was actually a 20% reduction in dementia over 6 years.
Mm.
That was with the first shingles vaccine. Then it was repeated by an Oxford group that showed that, in fact, Shingrix was superior to Zostavax and two other vaccines in adulthood, influenza and pertussis, whooping cough, had no effect. So it's
okay.
And why does this happen? We think probably the virus is not only going to the periphery, but it's actually coming out of that cluster of nerve cells and possibly going back into the brain. And this may be happening with herpes simplex as well. It's been postulated.
Interesting. There's no vaccine against herpes simplex, is there?
No, we're trying.
Yeah. That'll be an enormous money spinner if it did happen. What about for a while there were some topical ointments that you applied to
but
sufferers, me included, found they were of limited use.
That's right. If you take oral antivirals such as acyclovir, you get about 1 day's relief. If you take the ointments, you get about a half a day's relief, and you can suppress them. So if you get eczema on the face and cold sores spreads right across them, then the recommendation is if you have eczema, then you take continuous antivirals to prevent that from happening next time your cold sore comes out.
Yes, 1-300-800-222 is the number. Steve in Kempsey. G'day, Steve.
Good evening. Yes, hi. I just have a query about any possible downsides. I'm 63. I've been pathologically tested 10 years ago to say I had not had chickenpox. I've since been vaccinated for chickenpox. So I've been told that I don't need to have the Shingrix vaccine, but as we're just saying, there are other benefits to the vaccine. Would it be recommended that even though I've never had chickenpox and I have been vaccinated against chickenpox, would it be of benefit to still have the vaccine, and are there any downsides at all to the vaccine in my situation?
Were you tested for antibodies to chickenpox before you were given the chickenpox vaccine, and how old were you then?
Yes, I was. I was 53.
I was tested, yes. Yeah. So that is, you're one of the very unusual people, and you can't take a history of no chickenpox for granted. What you would need to do, and this is unusual, doctors don't usually do this. You'd have to check your antibodies to be absolutely certain you haven't had chickenpox.
Yeah. I was in the hospital, and they took me straight down to the hospital pathology and tested me when I told them. So.
Yeah. I think when you're 65, I'd still have Shingrix because it lasts, as I mentioned, probably about 20 years. And it's very potent because of the immunostimulants that are used. So if it was me, it's a very unusual situation, but I would have the Shingrix vaccine. Mm-hmm. And you might have to put up with the side effects, which
what are they, by the way?
A bit like, well, they're very much like the RNA vaccines. So you get about 80% of people will get pain at the injection site, and fatigue and aches and pains, and also perhaps a little bit of low grade fever. And about 1 in 10 people, this will knock them out like the RNA vaccine for a couple of days, but you need to know about that. I tell all my patients they have a 1 in 10 chance of getting this the severer form of side effects. It all goes away. There's no problem. It's just simply the immune system responding to the vaccine.
1-300. Thanks. Thanks, Steve. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Why don't we have a better flu vaccine than we have? I know we do. I know we have flu shots every year, but they're not that effective, are they?
They can range from 25% to 50%.
Yeah, but they're not really better than that.
Yeah, this is why Shingrix and the COVID vaccines were a revelation, really, in aging people. And part of the reason is the type of immunostimulant that's used in the vaccine. What we've seen with the flu vaccines is an immunostimulant used in recent years, and that creates a 25% better vaccine. Remember that part of the problem with flu is it changes its spots. It varies from year to year, and that's not what chickenpox does. So you need to have what's called a universal flu vaccine. That's what everybody's working on, which actually manages to encompass the different types of influenza A that we get. COVID.
We're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
No. Does your body ever get rid of a latent virus?
It doesn't. What happens with herpes, particularly genital herpes, which has been studied very carefully, is that the frequency of the recurrences drops off because the immunity improves. But the virus still stays there, and in fact, when postmortems are done, that's when you find the virus is still sitting there.
Yeah, right. All right, fascinating. Tony Cunningham is with us. Professor Cunningham is a viral immunologist and virus expert. Interesting program, says Denise. I always take lysine capsules at the onset of a cold sore, and it stops in its tracks, works every time.
Yes.
I suppose if things work, you take them, do you? Is that it?
Yeah, that's right. There have been about 60 remedies for recurrent herpes, and a lot of them have not been tested in controlled trials. Lysine has, and it may work for some people individually, but generally it doesn't.
It doesn't, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Can the cold sore virus become a genital herpes virus? Quite a few people are texting in this question.
Yes.
They can transfer.
This is what we started to see, particularly in young women in Australia, the USA, etc. And this is oral sex. And so the good thing about herpes simplex type 1 transmitted from mouth to genitals is that it's much less frequent than HSV2. In fact, most people will only get one episode, but that can be quite severe, just like HSV2.
Okay. All right, so there is some transfer. All right, 1-300-800-222 is the number. Kerry in Coffs Harbour. Hello, Kerry.
Hello, thank you. Thank you so much for your program, Philip, and good evening, gentlemen. I had chickenpox when I was about 9 or 10, when I was young, and then when I was married and I had two sons 16 months apart, and my second son used to tease by biting on my shoulder, and it hurt. I went to the doctors, and he told me I had shingles. And I told him that that was only an old people's disease, so to speak. But he gave me an injection. I don't know what it is. I can't remember. But my arm was very, very sore, and I had two injections a week apart. And that was back in 1971, 72.
The youngest I've seen is 7, and the youngest that I know of in the literature is 3, and that's a child that actually had neonatal chickenpox. So, yes, it can occur at a very young age. I've seen plenty of people in their 20s.
Yep.
I mentioned it to my doctor. He said, well, you will have your children 16 months apart, won't you? He said, because it's stress to your body. But I'm having the vaccination now, 12 months apart, but I haven't had it since. But it was most interesting because, as I said, I thought it was an elderly person's disease. I knew older uncles and grandparents who had it, but didn't know of anyone at my age in the early 30s at that stage.
Okay.
Much commoner over the age of 50, but it doesn't exclude the possibility you can get it in your 20s and 30s, or, as I mentioned, at the age of 7.
Thanks, Kerry. 1-300-800-222. Maddie on the Gold Coast. G'day, Maddie.
Hello.
Hi.
I was just wondering, it's a two-part question. One, when I had the COVID vaccine, which I got two doses of, I actually developed the shingles twice, like each time after having the vaccine. Is there any correlation, or was that just random chance? And secondly, being only 29 and having had shingles twice, should I be paying for the vaccine?
Did you check that this was shingles and not herpes?
Yes, I it was diagnosed by the doctor.
The appearance of herpes can simulate shingles, and I often have people telling me they've got recurrent shingles when I test it. It is herpes, and you can get it in other places. Something just to be aware of. In fact, it's been shown the opposite, that COVID can actually stimulate shingles, the outbreak of shingles. Haven't seen any really good data on COVID vaccines doing that.
Okay.
All right.
So if say I did have shingles twice, I'm worried in the future about having like post-herpetic, you know, pain, because I did have a lot of pain after the first time. Does the vaccine reduce the incidence of that?
It does, actually, even if you get breakthrough shingles as well. And one thing that herpes does is it causes tingling. It doesn't usually cause pain, so you may be right. And that's very unusual, what you describe.
Thanks, Matt. I love home remedies for cold sores, and I'm sure you've heard most of them, Tony.
Yeah.
But Anna says, what works for me when I get a cold sore is a dab of hand sanitizer, and bingo, it subsides and never resurfaces. I don't know why, but it works each time.
Oh, well, probably dries it up.
Yeah, well, Anna, I'm sure you'd say if it works, good for you.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah. All right. Where are we? Helen from Perth. G'day, Helen. Sorry, you've been waiting on there. Hello.
Hello. Thank you, Professor Cunningham, for talking with us about this. So I am in the under 65 age group, and I paid $300 to buy the shingles vaccine, which you can get private health insurance refund on. So that's, that's a bonus. But I was totally wiped out by it. The pharmacist warned me that I could be a bit achy, but I had a day and a half of not being able to leave the bed or couch and not even stand for 10 minutes to make food. And I'm wondering whether I should have the next vaccine, whether I should have it at all. And if I do have it, should I have it at the 2 months mark or should I have it at the 6 months mark? Will it make a difference to how severely I react to it?
Well, the good news is we studied this, and the good news is that there's one in three chance of you getting the same reaction again with the second dose. So it's not absolute by any means. And in general, people can get the same sort of... You're the one in 10 unlucky people who get a severer form of reaction. I make it very clear that there's no lasting damage from this, but it's a nuisance. Right. And again, we see this with the RNA vaccines. When I remember lots of my young people getting COVID vaccines and seeing them doubled over at their desks, and that is part of the problem with these vaccines, and one of the reasons we need more research to see if we can separate out their efficacy from their side effects. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Would you say it 2 months or 6 months?
I would say it's not going to make any difference at all, unfortunately.
What you're saying is that you may not get the same symptoms again.
Absolutely. So it's a 2 in 3 chance you won't.
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Helen. Good luck with it. Good luck with it. Just before you go, I was talking with someone today. I said we're going to be talking with you about viruses, and they were talking to me about the respiratory virus, RSV. Now, this is not a latent virus, I understand, but there is I didn't want to let you go without discussing this. There is a new vaccine for this. This is a very serious form of the flu, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, there are actually two vaccines and I think a third one on the way, an RNA vaccine. And one of the vaccines is constituted similarly to Shingrix. It's got the same immunostimulants. One of them has been tested over 2 years and the other, the one I'm talking about with the immunostimulants, over 3 years. And they're both pretty effective against RSV. And RSV is as bad as flu. It has an effect on people who have heart and lung disease, and it can really give you nasty flu-like symptoms. And it's a much more consistent visitor in the middle of winter. So you can get your vaccine before the next winter, and you'll know with one of them it'll last for 3 years, and the other one it'll last for at least 2 years.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. Monty says, hello, great program. Can one be tested for HPV? Given it causes throat cancer, if one engaged in oral sex 20 years ago, would you be at risk for throat cancer?
Very rare, not recommended, but the answer is yes, you can, and you can test for the type of a virus that actually causes cancer. There's various types. The commonest ones are type 16, 18. You can do special tests for that.
And similar to this, what's the time gap after coming into contact with a male partner with genital herpes and it appearing on the female? Can it appear 30 years later, says my texter?
It can. I've seen this with some of my own patients. The reason for this is you get infected and then it becomes asymptomatic. Only a small percentage of people get a first episode, and it can actually come out afterwards. You can do the same with cold sores. My mother got a first cold sore at age 67.
Really?
Yeah. And I have no antibodies, and that's why I'm used for all of our experiments at work.
Oh, dear. 1-3. David from Sippy Downs. I think we may have discussed this question of yours. David, hello.
Yeah, David, mate.
Hi, David. What's your question?
The question is the relationship between having herpes and at some time in the near future going through to dementia.
Is there a connection between the virus and dementia? We've discussed whether the fact that the shingles vaccine appears to have some
protective effect
from dementia. Yeah. But is there a link between having the herpes virus and the onset of dementia?
So shingles definitely. There's just a recent paper again and Nature Medicine, which is solidifying some of that data. There's a lot of data which has been criticised heavily that herpes simplex might contribute to dementia as well. And it's not nearly as well based as shingles, the shingles virus. But the likelihood is it may well contribute, and that's a subject for future better research than we've done in the past.
Mm. Yeah, 1-300-800-222 is the number. Stacey, hello, Stace.
Love your show, as always. Fantastic.
Thank you.
I just wanted to quickly ask Professor Cunningham, it's been really informative, thank you. I had the, just early 60s, had the shingles vaccination a couple of years ago, developed a very severe local reaction on the injection site. No symptoms, no other side effects, just this bright red raised target mark around the injection site. And it took months to go away, and it sort of developed a crusty surface. So now the GP won't give me my second vaccine because...
Oh, I see. This was Shingrix.
Yes.
The Shingrix vaccine, yes.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, I'm keen to get it because everything I hear about shingles makes me not want to get shingles.
No.
But no one's prepared to give it to me because they said that that early first reaction was a sign that my body, for some reason, doesn't like it.
Mm. What's the story here, Tony?
Yeah, very unusual. It sounds like almost like the equivalent of a fixed drug eruption, and I can understand the. It may be worthwhile just seeing if he can refer you to an allergy specialist and have a bit of a chat with them, because there may be components in the vaccine to which you're allergic. That would be useful to do.
Okay. Yeah, well, it was just completely out of the blue. I don't have any allergies, no underlying health conditions, pretty healthy for my age group. And it was just this bizarre reaction that I didn't even feel until someone pointed and asked me what on earth was that thing on my arm. So,
and that's why I'm saying seeing an allergy specialist would at least help in trying to work out whether you should have the vaccine again, the second shot.
Yeah, like try and take it further, Stacey. Thank you. I've got a full board, of course, and I can't answer everybody's question. You can't either. I know it's these are things that I guess it's after the the whole COVID episode. We're much more alive to and aware of the dangers of viral infections. This is what's called. All right. In short, just to summarise, Tony, before you go, the Shingrix vaccine is out there. If you're over 65, it's free. If you're under 65 and you have no immunocompromised position, you have to pay for it. But you're suggesting over 60, you really should think about having it anyway.
Yep.
If you're over 65, it's free, and you should go and get it. Consider the RSV vaccine, which is out now. It's new, and it's pretty effective as well.
Indeed, yeah. I think that's the lesson. We've now got about 5 vaccines for people, for adults, which is great because that means we can prevent those diseases.
Someone says Bongella is really good for cold sores. You see, I told you. Tony, terrific to have your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Professor Tony Cunningham is a viral immunologist, expert on vaccines. Thanks for the texts and calls.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.